The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on the air. Programming notes for tonight, you know, starts with the news hour that goes from 7 to 8. And then at 8 p.m., we have American Experience, an in-depth look at an exceptional baseball player who became baseball's first Latino superstar. And that goes from 8 to 9. Then POV, we got a 90-minute edition that they say follow three Cuban baseball players as they risk exile to chase their dreams of playing in the major leagues. That takes us to 10:30. We got Beyond the Canvas from 10:30 to 11. And then Amanpour and Company will take us from 11 to midnight. So PBS News Hour, 7 to 8. American Experience, 8 to 9. POV from 9 to 10:30. Beyond the Canvas from 10:30 to 11. And then Amanpour and Company will take us to midnight. So, Gov, it's like an open book test. I'm going to let you know what the items, what the questions going to be over the next 55 minutes. Right? Clearly, you came here. You want to talk derelict buildings because you had the town hall, right? So
yeah.
So we can get to that. But I want to run through them real quick, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to touch up about the cover over. Yeah. You want to know what's going on because, you know, you did a lot of good things in the previous term that's dependent on us getting back 98% of the 1350, which and I spoke about that earlier in the week. And now we're at, 1050?
Yeah.
We were dependent on getting 1325, right, that's of the 1350, right. And we're at 1050 now, right? So we'll touch on that. Touch on the library then. Right, because those are big projects that we're dealing with. Tax refunds, right? So you want to know again, I want tax refunds. still want to talk about the Cowboys. I want to tell you a little bit about...
We can talk about the Cowboys all day.
I know.
You're doing good.
I want to talk about the Cowboys because Lewis Taylor, you know Lewis Taylor, right? The piano.
Yeah, I know
right?
Lewis.
He went
the
to school.
Piano
went,
extraordinaire.
He went to school with Ed Tuttle Jones.
Really?
At Tennessee State when Oprah was over there. He told me a story. Well, that's so we're going to bring that up later on. You're going to enjoy that one, right? And you're not smiling already. You're going to like that one. And then, of course, the issue that I spoke with you about during the break. within the hurricane season, cleaning the goddamn and all that stuff, that's important because right now antennas are up. It's the time of the year when bad things have happened to us with respect to storms rolling through. The region, of course, we dodged the bullet. The Caribbean apparently dodged the bullet. Hopefully Bermuda, you know, does it as well with Lee. You work with the administrators in terms of making sure that the town areas and those areas out where the residential areas, cleaning guts for obvious reasons and all that stuff.
Well,
talk a little bit about it.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I could air out a little bit at Brian Roach business, but, you know, Public Works gets a little salty because it's their job, really. I mean, the administrator, they definitely
correct.
See a lot of things and feel the calls. So the administrators are the ones that reported, but, you know, you got Charlie Chris over there. In Public Works, so they do a good job keeping St. Thomas clean. Mm-hmm. Avery to help. Joe Bosholta, Tourism, put up money to clean too. And then here in St. Croix, you got, Derek Gabriel is the pit commissioner of Public Works, but you got three people over here too. Ali, Jamil, who I think does Mid Island. Of course, you know, down in the West, we have Owegena. A brain embolism now because of
Don Bruce.
They keep the West clean. Mm-hmm. So they kind of tag team, and then we have all the road crews that do it as well too. So before hurricane season, we try to keep the guts clean, and the guts been pretty good in terms of debris running down because we even haven't any rain.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we got some trifling people in the Virgin Islands. Yes, I said it. Who do things like throw their fridge and a stove and a couch and all kind of garbage down in the guts, you know.
People don't do that. We're going to ask politely.
Politely.
Today. Whatever you do, do not throw your appliances out in the gut and out in the road and side of the road and all that stuff. Waste management, they work with doing what they got to do to assist you and all that stuff. Yeah. Nothing wrong with picking up the phone and calling somebody.
Yeah, you know, so the worst thing about that is everything you throw on the ground, in the street, in the guts, washes down into our beautiful, beautiful island waters. You know, we have the Coral Reef Task Force in the Virgin Islands. meeting. I think that's in October. So we have people coming in from Guam, Palau, CNMI, coming to talk about coral reef. And our coral reefs are under attack. We don't see them, those of us that don't scuba and snorkel, but they are essential. And as a matter of fact.
So that happened in October?
Yeah. It's going to be a big thing in St. Thomas.
Are we starting to be a conference location again? Because I heard something's happening with hotels at Frenchman's Reef slated for November.
Well, we've been missing out on a lot because our Marriott has been closed. Yeah. And that's really the conferencing center.
So let me rephrase the question. Have people been inquiring about wanting to hold conferences Absolutely. In the Virgin Islands and we're not able to accommodate a certain number? Has that been going on?
That has been going on for both islands. I mean, right now, you know, so the Lieutenant Governor's Conference is coming. I think we're going to get DGA down here next following year. We're going to get I'm the Vice Chair of Jobs for America's Graduates. That's going to come down. The Donna Fred Gregory brought the Black legislators mm-hmm. down. They were supposed to be at a Marriott, but they couldn't because they didn't have.
They keep getting pushed back. Yeah, what's the timeline now?
It's open.
Down in the bottom or the main lobby?
The main lobby is open. Ta-da!
Okay.
they have a soft opening.
A soft, okay.
They, you know, I was on the plane with one of their executives this week, and he was telling me to come up, you know, take a look at the place. But mm-hmm. it's open. It's a soft opening. But we wanted to, you know, the grand
And it's now a Westin.
Yes. I keep calling it a Marriott.
Yeah, it's not a Marriott. It's a Westin.
I still calling it the Holiday Inn from when my auntie used to take me out there for brunch when I was six, you know.
So we had two Holiday Inns?
Yeah, because
when we're passing with a holiday,
it was a Holiday Inn.
Okay,
Holiday Inn used to be the thing back in the day.
Yeah, man. So the Westin.
The Westin.
And that was a flagship hotel for the Virgin Islands, you know.
It still is. You see, one of the things that really, the thing about when the Westin Frenchman's Reef closed, you could see the grocery receipts go down. That's how important that hotel is. So when it's, because you got to think about it, it's 300 rooms, so it's 9,000 room nights a month. So 9,000 room nights at $400 a pop, plus the 15%.
108,000 room nights a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, bread.
That's what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, right? I'm gonna give away a secret now, right? Quick little story. So, as a senator. You know, we stayed at the Marriott, and so one night they put me on the side of the hotel where the cell phone service don't be as great as it was. This is 2006, right? I said, man, they got on the other side, and they ain't really paying attention to me. You know, they say, you know what? I'll take that room for tonight. So I go upstairs. I want to put a key. I see presidential suite on the door. So I go inside. And of course, you know, they got a number of suites on the top of the hotel, yep. right? One day I saw, now we're looking for that type of hookup every time.
There's a big jacuzzi in there, isn't it?
Well, yes. No. I didn't really want to start because it's going to take the whole hour, right? The closet bigger than a regular room.
Yeah.
You check? But anyway, there was a harbor wing next to the parking lot. Yep. So I stayed over there one time. I happened to pull out the room value. They had that document in the door.
Yeah.
$800. And of course, we pay the government rate at $170.
2006.
Yeah. So you could do the math now with respect to what they probably charging for those type of rooms. I'm not mind those. These are
That's jacuzzi. One of the things that, you know, and I want to talk about tourism too, because, you know, we got deals now with the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Jets. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to look for new avenues to market the Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. If you know, this is the first slow season we've had in a while, but it's really slow. And I was in Miami this weekend, and it was slow. I mean, when you could go into a sports bar in Miami on a Sunday and find a table with the Dolphins playing out of town, things are bad. And
They were in San Diego this weekend, right?
Yeah, a lot of closed doors and stuff. So tourism is I think it's starting to slow down.
Stimulus money?
Yeah, stimulus money too.
Or
but
lack
I think
compared to.
I think what happens if you keep telling people, you know, you're forcing the country into a recession and the inflation is too much. You know, people start to listen to you. You know, the media really drives consumption, and people have been conspicuously consuming for the last 2 years because they're like, coming out of COVID, they're like, man, I'm going to live my life. I think that is settling down now. The other thing is...
Well, you know, something to talk about. Let me talk about that term now that's in vogue, greedflation. How do you, as a chief executive for a jurisdiction, a state, tell business owners, are you really abusing the people?
Yeah.
That's what's going on. I mean, I'm being very frank here. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the private sector myself. Mm-hmm. And greedflation, what they're saying is there's hoarding where, you know, they're killing the consumers on the shelves, man.
But the inflation, yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, I mean.
But when you look at, even if you look at our wages, though, our wages have gone up a lot. Household wages during the Brian Roach administration have went up like $6,000 to $8,000. I mean, we're all the way up. The average government
per household.
Yeah, the average government salary now is $51,000, and it wasn't so before. The government has actually gotten really younger too. Well, when you look at the statistics, remember when we
were smaller,
when we had all those people retire in the DeYoung administration.
Correct.
Like our peers now are looking to retire. There's a lot of young people in the government, so the government median age is shifting downwards. But
I'm still advertising. I see. I got agencies advertising.
Oh, we are always advertising. And what's happening in the economy is there's a lot of pressure on wages, and people are switching jobs, which is slowing down now too. People are getting better jobs, but the jobs that are in pay are like highly specific now. So you got to have a lot of skill, experience in order to get these jobs. But they're paying well. We just raised the salaries for our commissioners, assistant commissioners, and people. There wasn't much noise about it, I could say. But when people ask me why, when they meet me, why do we do that? I said, well, what's happening is all the wages are pushing up. So you have an assistant attorney general making $125,000. The police officers, like on patrol, make $120,000 to $150,000, like regular police officers.
When I've been on WSTX back in the day. And at the time I was working for Department of Education, what people don't know is we had a situation where, because of union contracts, principals were making more than the commissioner.
Yeah.
Police captains were making more than the commissioner of public safety. So that's what forced the need. I mean, there's a, what is it? For every action. Right. Exactly. So you said 51,000 is the median salary.
Yeah, about for
government employees.
For government employees, yeah. Now.
Which begs this question then. Given cost of living, that's still kind of pulling and tugging there, right?
It is. I mean,
immovable object versus irresistible force type of thing. There.
But you know, there are other things that are driving poverty in the Virgin Islands too. Is like, you know, the majority of people in the Virgin Islands are not married. You need to income households are the key to really get you out of poverty.
Yes.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to be married, but you come
on my show to promote marriage.
No,
from an economic perspective, it's a joke. I'm just having fun.
From an economic perspective too.
So if you're married, find a man or find a woman.
No, but here's the thing. And I heard about this just this week, happened a lot.
Yeah.
The thing is,
God cast.
Is you get common law marriage. Now, people that say common law marriage. Common law marriage saves money because two things. You get covered on your insurance. So if a man don't like to get married nowadays, So you living with a man 10 years. Unfortunately, he drops down with a stroke. Now, common law marriage would give you rights to Social Security. Yes.
Yeah.
His property rights. So, I mean, people unfortunately die without having finalized a divorce. They've been divorced for 20 years.
Correct.
They've been living with another person for 20 years.
That's a reality.
Child support is another thing. Minimum, I just wanted to demand them know. I go say it colloquially.
Mm-hmm.
Check yourself. Because the minimum child support in the Virgin Islands is $50 a month. That's ridiculous. We want to see that move to like $300. For you to give somebody $300 for a kid in the Virgin Islands is nothing in today's economy.
I agree.
A month?
I agree.
I mean, you know, so those are things that we're looking at too. Housing, the Biden administration, like low-income rent for people who make in salaries. They remove the ceiling. People rent double and triple.
Wow.
And it's adversely affecting our residents because we have working people.
Biden administration removed the ceiling. That ain't a Republican type of thing.
It is. But you know what? You know what it is, though? In there's a long list of people waiting for public housing nationally. So what they did is, you know, once you go in public housing,
is it extended to the first house?
Yeah. They can't put you out. So you could be making $200,000 a year.
Yes, sir.
They can't put you out of public housing. So what they're doing is letting you pay the income, the rent, commensurate with your salary.
With your income,
which will drive you to move out, which frees up rent for other people in the Virgin Islands.
So it's like a reverse type.
Democratic policy. But in the Virgin Islands, you know, public housing is not necessarily poor people, because especially in St. Thomas, you got people who make decent salaries. They just rent is just absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned 800 out, 1200 for 1200 square foot.
Yeah,
no man. When you were here the other day, you were telling me St. Thomas 450, 500. What happened, buddy?
I'm telling you, man. I just construction and
because
and,
you know, here's something. I didn't mean to cut you off. Let the public know that you worked at the Housing Authority.
Oh yeah,
right. You had a window there. I don't know if you want to forget it.
No.
But you had a window there, so you are intimately aware with respect to construction costs and all that stuff. You ain't just talking based on what somebody tell you to come on the radio to say.
No.
Right. So talk a little bit about your knowing that and how that whole, you know.
Yeah, I worked in the Housing Authority for 7 years in purchasing and inventory control under the illustrious leadership of the now
Beverly Smith.
Ricky Francois.
But on St. Croix, Beverly Smith was big.
Beverly Smith was big. Yeah. And you know, when I was there, Beverly Smith, and they said we groom in you. They used to tell me that all the time. We groom in you. They used to put me to like MC the shows. We groom in you. Involved me in projects. Adrian Williams Octoland. Mm-hmm. That's where I met her, as well to the Housing Authority, and learned a lot there about public housing. And right now we have another public. So much things we're working on that people don't understand or know about. We're about to lose 305 public housing units.
Why?
Because when these joint projects are done with public funds, Love and Land, Calabash Boom, after a certain amount of years, those things go back to market rent. So you can imagine if you're in St. John, what market rent would be.
Okay.
So we're in the process of buying back 305 units, which we're going to make most of them eligible for home ownership. And it's $45 million. It's a bargain. And we're going to have more that are going to come online for sale because of time concerns. These companies are having great problems getting insurance, which is another problem.
Yeah. You and I spoke about that before. We'll take a break right now. Governor Albert Bryan is in the house. We're running through a number of different times. When we come back, we're going to talk a little WAPA, Governor, just so you can get the government, get the public an update with respect to what we're dealing with and the cover over, okay, in the next segment. And of course, the derelict buildings we're going to get to, because that was a town hall meeting, and we're going to see that there for the last segment. We'll be back right after this.
Credit score controls a lot of what you can do and have access to. Introducing Credit Score by Bank of St. Croix. Bank of St. Croix's credit score include daily access to your score, real-time alerts, personalized credit report, and special offers. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallus Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com, or the Bank of St. Croix app.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
WTJX's Taste of Two Islands is back. Join us at Antilles Mark C. Marin Center on December 14th for the long-awaited Return of the Taste, a culinary feast for the season.
Hosted by me, George Cultureman Silcat.
Early bird tickets go on sale beginning Monday, October 16th through Tuesday, November 14th. Tickets will be available at Chelsea's Drugstore in Red Hook, Barefoot Buddha across from Haven Site Mall, and Bonita's Cantina in Nisky Shopping Center. Tickets can also be purchased online at WTJX.org/taste or call 340-774-6255 or 340-690-7293. Don't miss this opportunity to experience the magic of local cuisine as you dance to the rhythms of Spectrum Band. Sponsors for this event are VI Lottery, Antilles School, West Indies Company, Cardo Wine and Spirits, First Bank, Bellows International, the VI Office of Highway Safety, and the VI Housing Finance Authority. It's the Return of the Taste, Thursday, December 14th at 6 p.m. A taste you can never forget.
So we are back in effect. We got the governor here in the house. Richie Puana, hit points down. And let me ask you a quick question here before we get back to the boss. These press briefings, they were twice a week?
Yes.
Well, it started on just Mondays, once a week, and then we went during COVID. We went to three times a week, weekly, and then we went back to the once.
Went right to the week. How have I been making out with that?
Like making out
with the press briefings.
Oh yeah, you know we do them. We you know it's a common staple now. I mean
piece of cake.
Sometimes, most times. I mean, I think we have a good hang of it. I mean, and the public has come to expect the information, you know, to come out of it. So even if we can't do it on a Monday, we absolutely try to not let a week go by without doing one.
Compared to when every week you were talking about the travel portal, right now this is heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
did we create something with that travel portal that we might need to patent that other jurisdictions could use, because that turned out to be somewhat successful for us? So we made a lot of money during that time.
Yeah, I mean, I you
did
know,
we create the portal, or did we extract that from somebody else?
You know, that's a good question.
We created the portal.
Yeah, because I hadn't seen. I mean, I know there were some other jurisdictions that had something similar, but I don't remember anyone having something like that before the U.S. Virgin Islands.
I'm gonna tell you that, right. I didn't travel for 2 years, right? So the first time I travel, I'm in California, and I call and I get the guidance, and before you know it, I'm getting emails letting me know to get the green. What's it? The green status, yeah, all that stuff. That's November 2021, and yo, that was smooth. I'm serious. We need to look at the things that we've done and see if we could, you know, create something.
There were some hiccups with the portal before, but I mean, I think that the tourism had a well-oiled machine at a certain point. I mean, there were times where I forgot to do it, and on the way to the airport, I'm like, oh, let me upload the information, and you get the results back in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, man, that was cool. Code. Speaking of which, Governor, the budget, what are we looking at for fiscal year 2024? Ballpark?
I don't know. I heard the Senate's cutting. I've been watching emails, and they're talking about cutting the budget, so... You know, we had 1.4 billion or something like that.
What talk revenue projections, and what are you hearing from your financial folk?
From Jennifer, my OMB, the great, illustrious Jennifer O'Neill. She's always cutting. Commissioner Cutlass.
Machette.
yeah, that's what they call her. But,
and IRB and finance.
We're just being conservative because, like I said, I look at trends in the economy, and she does too. Yesterday, I looked at, you know, I was looking at the quarterly reports coming out of Bloomberg Analytics, and it looks good, right? Economy is slowing, but the interest rate is still scaring me. You know, interest rates are like, credit cards are up to 28%. People, check your credit card interest rate, which is slowing consumer spending, because people don't want to spend that. You know, when 28% is a lot, that's usury. You know what I'm saying? That's worse than Como Loco. They still have Como Loco?
Well, since Island Finance.
Island Finance and Como Local is like 28%.
Check this out. Since you went there, and we keep hearing Jerome Powell, Federal Reserve, want to slow, right? You're hearing them say we need to slow the kind of activity that we're going at a time when our inflation was reducing and jobs were being created and all that stuff. Who in the Brian Roach administration have you tapped to be the one to keep an eye on what the Fed's saying? Because let's face it, everything that happens on the mainland, ultimately, the lag effect hits the Virgin Islands.
You know, I am the default economist of the Brian Roach administration. Wow. Yeah. We've been looking for one for quite some time. To put actually, so
where do I send
you could call me, you know, BER doesn't have a head right now. We need an economist. And I look at the numbers, and Jennifer to pay attention to Director O'Neill. And we always extra cautious, so we sandbag. But one of the things that we have, I mean, we just had, I always want to acknowledge that Ghana Fada has really blessed the administration. We still have like 100+ million in Epstein proceeds that we haven't touched yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know what
you had slated that for specific expenditures, or
I asked the legislature to, for a couple of expenditures, we have some money there to build behavioral health. So I think it's like 15 million.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted about 20 million. I think Mahogany Run purchase would be good. I think another 25 million. I would like to build back the Turo building.
Mm-hmm.
And another 20 million or thereabouts to purchase and rehab Seaview, which is a good facility in St. Thomas that's been damaged. St. Thomas, we just don't have space. So when we have something like that, you know, just languishing away, I mean, we have. There actually are services there still. We would like to get that on. And it still have a lot more money. And, you know, hopefully we will get to the end of this J.P. Morgan case. I mean, you wouldn't believe it if you read the Daily News, but we're actually the ones suing them. We're not the ones on trial here. But when you read the papers...
That's later for October?
That's coming up. Wow. That's coming up. If we don't get to a settlement...
My name being Anita.
You
see it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did see you in there.
That was wild. That was wild.
Yeah.
So I had some fun with that because over the years, there's certain people who send you checks that you don't cash. Right? We used to frame them. Like your people in for Soul Candy. I used to have fun with Turu that one there, right? So that one there, right? We still doing some recon of check, but... Again, you know, we're having fun with that because there was nothing fun with what Epstein was accused of doing.
That's true.
Nothing, right?
You know,
that's bad.
It is bad.
But what I don't like is the guys under which they were moving, where they get certain people who are legit fronting for them, and next thing you know, you get caught up in thing and all that stuff. So,
but the whole move
so we're gonna deal with that. Sorry to say, but he was 15 steps ahead of Holloway in terms of the stealthiness in which they were doing things while he making money.
So this lawsuit is something that we initiated. And of course, there's a lot of national pressure being applied by the institution to make us fold.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're holding our ground.
You're talking about the bank.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to make us, you know, put local pressure on people to trade us to get to drop the suit. But, you know, that's not going to happen. So... we proceed, and we'll see how that comes out. But there are settlements there that we have. NYC,
have we taken a hit from a external perspective that, quote-unquote, the Virgin Islands was lax? I don't know if I want to go there, because remember, we are tourism.
You know, when you look at the whole scenario, I mean, this guy really didn't get anything. I mean, if you look at it, they keep saying that, but he didn't really get anything. He was just a bad person. Yeah, he was just a bad person. And we have a lot of bad actors in everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most disturbing things you can do in the States, we're trying to get it done here, is you can put in your neighborhood and it'll show you all of the people that are registered sex offenders in your neighborhood. That's scary.
No, me, I, one of the things I don't try to do, I had Skepola on last week. We had a discussion, a very controversial discussion about a particular item that we're going to revisit down the road. Right. And I told Skepola, I don't want you to believe that you're going to come here alone and all I got to do is throw softballs and all that stuff. What we're hearing, what took place with that track and field coach, that's extremely disturbing.
Oh, my God.
That is bad, man.
The fact that he had
and got away with it for so long.
Videos.
I mean, that's serious sickness.
He convicted himself.
Yeah, man. That's serious sickness. I just want to extend, the thoughts to those who were victimized by his behavior, his predatory behavior, and all that stuff. And hopefully that never ever happens again. Chief Lynn, now WAPA. What we got? We're Albert Bryan and Treganza Roach eyes with how we fix this 20-year energy crisis in the Virgin Islands.
So that's another reason why I'm going to D.C. next week to beg for more money for WAPA. And so far, I think what we're trying to do, the project is going good. We feel positive about our application to HUD and the payoff of VTOL, buying back the utility. We've got the renewable projects going now, still negotiating the batteries. The pole, composite pole, is almost 90% complete. A lot of underground.
Composite poles.
Okay. Undergrounding getting done. The Wärtsilä's have been fired up, and those should be coming online. What we're trying to do is, right now we have an exclusive contract to buy propane from VTOL. We can't buy from anybody else. So we're trying to get out of that as quickly as possible because we could get propane delivered cheaper. WAPA still got some hurdles. I mean, we get short-term debt is serious. And that's why, I'm going to the D.C. and beg for some money. See, like, how...
Are you begging HUD or energy?
Energy. Energy has a lot of new programs and the White House. We have a meeting with Secretary Granholm of the Energy Department. We're trying to have a meeting with Secretary Fudge of HUD. But, even if she doesn't get to make it, she usually stops in and says hi. Adrian Todman, our very own Virgin Islander, yes. Deputy Secretary Todman.
Of HUD.
Yeah. We meet with her as well, too. Congressman, as you know, it is Congressional Black Caucus Week.
That's right, September. Yeah,
delegate is hosting. So it's a whole Caribbean thing.
Okay.
We have people going up there. We have a contingent going up there, too, to start talking to representatives and people about the construction opportunities in the Virgin Islands. The other day, my OMB director, Jennifer O'Neill, was, we need more projects. We're not getting them out fast enough. And I said,
What the disaster recovery director said early on when I took over the administration, what did he say about the amount of people you need to actually do the work compared to the population of Virgin Islands?
But yeah, it is. We need like 5,000 more workers. I think we need more than that. But what is evident is you have a 3.5% unemployment rate in St. Thomas and a 4% unemployment rate in St. Croix. The refinery closed. The Marriott ain't fully open. The Westin ain't open. Sugar Bay. We got new hotels being built on both islands. The key expansion.
Unemployment is that low.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, and now we gotta build that school. And when you go on these construction sites, you're not seeing people. It's like we've actually had contracts.
So are we tapped out with labor?
I would say yes. I mean, we have three schools now out for bid. Charlotte Amali High, BCB, and Central that are out for bid now. So they're doing presentations. Last week, I was looking at some beautiful stuff. Who's going to build those things? So what we're kind of trying to do is to put together billion-dollar packages to attract major contractors like a Halliburton, because they could come build a man camp and build a hospital. Or build us six schools, so whatever it is we need to get done. Remember, we still have massive undergrounding to do. There's our project from Five Corner all the way to Lorraine.
Five Corner to Lorraine, the entire National Road.
That's water, sewer, electrical, internet. So all they got to be buried.
But that's a major economic investment, though, because all the businesses that are there along that road,
they're
going to benefit, man.
Yeah, they're going to benefit. We still got like $40 million in broadband upgrades to do. I'm actually being honored.
What about that road over there, Red Hook? And the same time I said, you guys are welcome and coming to meet Red Hook though?
There's a Dunu project that's huge.
Oh, Dunu, okay.
Yes, Dunu going up by Home Depot, going all the way up. We got to redo all of that. But I'm actually being honored next week in Washington on Tuesday night by the health informational technology for the work we're doing, the health information exchange work that we're doing. Like, nobody don't even know about that, but mm-hmm. they know. So they're giving me an award for that on a Tuesday night next week.
Bow tie or tie?
I don't know, you know.
Richie, what are you going to suggest on the guy? Bow tie or tie?
Tie.
That's what I talk about, man.
I haven't been wearing my bow ties, you know. I was gaining a little weight and trying to, like, knock it off. I just came back from vacation. I was in Trinidad. I went to see cricket. Lord, oh, yeah? Trinico party, eh? Like, I...
Cricket, lovely cricket.
Cricket, lovely cricket.
No, man.
I went to see, the Knights, the Trinidad Knights, and they got beat by Guyana.
Okay.
But Guyana got the best team. So if you don't watch cricket, the Caribbean Premier League is like the hottest thing in the Caribbean right now. And one of my wishes, I know this sounds strange coming from me, even though I'm a sports guy, we need a Greater Virgin Islands cricket team.
A pitch. We need to commit to a real pitch.
No. I think St. Croix get there.
We got the soccer field. That Bethlehem soccer field is a masterpiece.
Right.
We just need a pitch now. Too good pitch.
So there's 2 million on each island dedicated to building a pitch.
That's
St. Thomas one already. They're spreading the topsoil now. St. Croix, I think they finalized the lease through the Senate. I don't know.
You know, I'm a sports junkie, right? First sport I ever played in my life with cricket.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my mommy sent me to Antigua in the summertime. Go play cricket. Yeah.
I like 2020. I don't like the match and test match.
And the field, they renamed the field after Kevin Shepard's father.
Oh, yeah?
Tegan
that's
father.
Right. All of them are all sports guys.
Lake and Shepard up there. Yeah, that same King James field up there.
Yeah, when I go out on the cricket field there in Princess, yeah. all his uncles will be there.
When you got to Trinidad, did you feel comfortable that we're in lockstep in terms of, because you can't really compare us because they're so much bigger than we are, but from an economic standpoint, in terms of growth, building our, rebuilding our airport, not rebuilding, but enhancing our airports and all that stuff?
You know, so I look at everything in their economy. I think they have high, low unemployment, but and low youth unemployment, which are good things, but they have, their crime rate is really,
ridiculous.
Really bad.
It is bad.
They got a lot of tenement yards, a lot of poverty. But the city, the city looks great.
We know what tenement.
Jet lags
can't. We know what Jacob Miller and tenement yard.
I didn't always wear bow ties.
Yo, St. Dunstan's are really good for Joe, though. really, by the way, Richie, somebody text me and say, I was actually advised a couple of years ago to go up in a Hurricane Hunter. They say you take my place in a Hurricane Hunter.
How was that?
Eh?
It was adventurous.
Was it shaking?
It was a really rough flight.
How long have I been up there for?
Eight hours.
You were there with Daryl Jackson?
I was Josh and I.
Wow. But you got Army.
I'm surprised.
You got military.
No, the governor going to tell you a funny story.
We're going to take a break. About him sweating in a regular plane.
We're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to talk about the town hall meetings that you held, derelict buildings. That's a bigger issue than people really believe.
It's huge.
Yeah, and people think it's something that just, you know, is there. No, it's not there. It's worse than that. We'll take a break. Be back right after that.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Did you know that Medicare pays for many preventive and wellness services? With Medicare or a Medicare Advantage plan, services are available to prevent or detect illness at an early stage. Screenings and tests are free if your healthcare provider accepts Medicare. Services include a Welcome to Medicare preventive visit, exams, shots, lab tests, and screenings. There are also programs for health monitoring, counseling, and education. For more information, contact the Virgin Islands State Health Insurance Assistance Program in the St. Thomas St. John District at 340-774-2991, extension 4507, and the St. Croix District at 340-773-6449, extension 3151 or 3152. Beneficiaries can also call 1-800-633-4227 or visit www.medicare.gov.
And we're back here to analyze this. Gov, we're going to save the details of that adventure that Richie Mota and Daryl Jackson experienced last week. I think it was Friday, right? Friday. When they went out and actually flew out to Hurricane Lee and dealt with all that stuff. But you said a regular flight, he showed you true colors during a regular flight one time?
Sweating. Plane won't start, my son. The plane is keep cutting out. When Richie got in the air, he was gripping that seat so hard. That they don't pull it out. The man sweating bullets. Carl in the back teasing him out. Stop teasing the man.
What kind of flight? A 2.5 hour trail flight? Or
20 minutes.
Or the St. Croix to St. Thomas?
When the plane cut off on the runway, he was like, oh no, this is like a bad idea. I was cracking out because, you know, you don't go, no man, go before your time. It's your time. But
good. So you had two town hall meetings.
Yeah.
One on St. Thomas, one on St. Croix. Derelict buildings are a problem in the Virgin Islands.
Huge problem.
Eyesores in towns, all that stuff. And I'm sure you've gotten a lot of suggestions. I remember when I was a senator, Diane Russell had reached out to me, told me about an initiative they did in Washington, D.C., because they had those eyesores there as well. Probate is a big issue.
Huge.
Let me just shut up and so you can do what you got to do.
We went out to the public, a lot of times people, no matter what we do, people say, you know, we're not transparent enough. So a lot of people say, oh, how come this never came to the public? And we decided before we coin any legislation, first of all, we have been wanting to do this from the Young administration. Before that even, Generation Now, we talked about abandoned buildings and how would it be a good place to it. So we debated this, Carl, Adrian, I, Kevin, Robbie Malloy. We've debated this item back and forth for 10, 15 years. Now, this is a unique opportunity, one, because no governor who is up for election will be brave enough to even bring up this subject.
Re-election attack.
Yeah. So that's part of it, right? Because it's a very controversial subject. Because people mistrust the government. I don't take it personal. People just mistrust the government. Then we never had the money to actually do something about it. So you could talk about it, but then what do you do?
So there's a political dynamic and a financial dynamic.
Yes. In the reality is, even if we were to get this passed this year, it would take 5-10 years to see any real impact. Because it just takes that long to get rules and regs together, investors together, get it through the court systems. So these are one of the seeds that I'm planting in this administration. It's a tree that I'm not going to catch the shade of. Some other governor, who's ever our next, will be really the one who will be effectuating this. We will start
Well, I don't know about that, Governor, because last week I had a Ryan Flagel from Federal Leafs in on last week as one of my guests last week, Thursday.
Yeah, I know Ryan.
And because of that discussion, the public interest might be higher than you think. And it might allow for an acceleration.
Well, I know they're interested, but you know, we got a lot of people that showed up.
No, what I'm saying is people are in support of your administration wanting to address the eyesores, the derelict buildings here in the Virgin Islands.
Well, that's good news. You know, the one thing
discussion last week, Thursday. Great.
Yeah, because Ryan had wrote an editorial before the town hall meetings. So it wasn't the most complimentary, but it was fair in having that he didn't have all the information. So the thing is the participation of the public in creating the legislation. Mm-hmm. It's not going to please everybody, but we need something to send to the legislature. When we sent it down there, we would have had public input. They're going to seek public input as well. But what always happens is the people who show up to give input are people who are against it.
Well, you know something? It really is a microcosm of what we're dealing with the land and water use plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Where
people are saying, we need change, just don't come wrong by me. I'm like, you know, Gov, can you... As soon as you won the last election, you said, I'm now a lame duck, right?
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, you ain't worrying about the 2026 election, so you have some flexibility, right? Me, I passed my elected window. I passed that, so now I can speak freely and don't worry about, well, how are we going to affect me in the next election? We got to be very candid, man.
We do have to be candid.
That's our problem.
Like, my thing is, you could be angry, but then what? And when you come and you give good recommendations, it goes into the legislation. But people, we have to do something. You know, it bothered me. I thought about it over vacation. And I try to figure out, like, why people are so against progress. But any kind of progress means that you're moving forward.
Against progress. They're against, it's a conditional thing that I just mentioned.
But
do what you got to do. Leave my utopia alone.
But anytime you move forward... Or the world move forward, people get left behind. And sometimes that person is you, but that's a choice.
Yes. We need to tell them, look, what is it? be a part of it or get out the way.
Yeah, that's a choice. And I think, you know, I did it at a town hall meeting. You know, one thing nobody can deny. This administration has made so many opportunities available to Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Free school, free light, free everything. Because we believe, we're giving people up to $350,000 grant on their first home. Because we believe in Virgin Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that Trigans and I solely believe in is property rights. Like, deeds are sanctified. We need to keep hold of those deeds. What's going to happen if we don't do something like this is all those properties that eventually be auctioned off and for taxes and for other reasons and bought away. And that family will never be able to get that.
Yeah,
this
is a way of preserving wealth. We don't want that, Governor. Under no circumstances.
In the meantime, right, like, you know, I have to deal with my, like, I don't call it my mommy's, like, Claire, Roka, like, Miss Brong Dong in Frederickstead, that are coming to be harassing me and be like, Albert, you know, they don't say Governor Albert, what are you doing about all these abandoned buildings in Frederickstead, you know, in St. Thomas? You know, I have the same thing.
And the families in St. John.
And St. John. And what has happened is, I think it was Donna too had told me, Donna Christensen, she's like, you know, every time we have a storm, the towns get worse. Because the abandoned buildings, then they get blown down. You see that, the way the apothecary hall used to be?
They get torn.
In Frederickstead.
Yeah, correct.
That thing hanging off, the thing in
dangling.
Come on,
yeah, man.
And, right. You know, somebody recommended me, I call them my, what do they call them? Kitchen cabinet people, wrote me a long letter And he said, you know, why don't we start taking down some of these buildings?
Well, you know, when we had the conversation around Flagel, and me and Joey have talked about this, because when Joey hear this storm, a minute domain here is going to get crazy.
Which Joey like, that is?
Hollins, Percival Hollins the third.
Saint
right?
Dunstan's.
Saint Dunstan's again, right? And he said, well, so you're not tech people think from them? I said, no, but that is an option when the people that we're talking to ain't really realizing, understanding the high impact that we're dealing with.
You know, the other thing,
and I'm not into taking anything from anybody, but I mean, come on now.
Property rights are an issue in the Virgin Islands. I have a group of people out Cotton Valley that I've been trying to work with. They have a guy out there that is just accumulating all kinds of junk on his property, mm-hmm. dragging it. It's like when you got one of them cat where they bring everything in, everything dead, they go on to them, they're bringing them on the doorstep, and the neighborhood is a mess. But the government doesn't have any tools to really move anything off of anybody's property.
Recourse.
We don't. Yeah. And he's not the only one. Listen, you know how many people we have? Like, we have next to somebody who running car, mechanic, their 800 car in the yard. They think them hunting mosquito. And in the Virgin Islands, we're like, it's kind of like a don't tread on me. You know, I remember in my neighborhood.
That utopia thing there, man.
I went around and I tried to get my neighbors to form a homeowners association because it is a right of the development. And a lot of them were like, nah, I don't want nobody telling me what to do on my property. Yeah, but you have a beautiful house. You know what I mean? The problem is the people are going to come in next to you and do some craziness and devalue your property.
Well, that was a St. John issue, a big St. John issue 15, 20 years ago. Speaking of St. John, the land swap, talk a little bit about that.
Well, we got a vote coming up.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. And I think we got the votes. You know, we've heard a lot going by. I tell you, Neville, this thing frustrated me to no end.
Richie, we're monitoring the numerous conversations that I've had on the show about it. I agree that something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. My issue ain't really with St. John. My issue is with the Park Service as to when do they start giving back?
They don't. They don't.
How much more they need? So they don't need any more. The footprint done big enough already.
But, you know, I think the move by Delegate Plaskett in Congress is a good one, forbidding them from taking any more property in the Virgin Islands. I like that. But this swap, we're trading essentially one of our keys that will never be used because it's a bird sanctuary for 11 acres of usable land. That's a steal to me. I didn't think it would be this controversial. But, you know, the one thing I don't do is let my emotion get in the way of my win. So I totally get it. People are pissed off at the Park Service. But we win in here. And then the other thing is, we've been doing this for 50 years. Like, don't come at the 19th hour. They've been asking me for a meeting, and I refuse.
I reference a Young Administration article, Richie, I hear me, from back in 2008, when you were Labor Commissioner, and they wanted to swap Grange for some property in St. John to make this thing happen, because Guy Benjamin School had get closed down.
Yeah, they were the Salt River too was up at one time too.
I don't believe this is what Rockefeller had in mind though.
Yeah,
I know he wanted the Park Service there to preserve and protect, but I don't believe that they were into dominance. That's what's going on with the Park Service now, man. It's too much dominance, Governor. And at some point, you got to say, look, man, geez, some bread, what's going on?
Well, we've been to, I've been to, the Lieutenant Governor has gone to D.C. on landlocked land in the Park National Park. And I could tell you, they're coming around. They're being a better player. But they got a lot of repairing to do in terms of their reputation in the Virgin Islands, because it's just some of the minor hostile things they do that are just public, like putting armed guards to block the street for St. Patrick's Day, armed park rangers so that St. Patrick's parade can't come around the post office.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Who does that serve?
It looked like they want to fight.
Having said that, I do have to say that I do remember when they steal a cannon on St. Patrick's Day, everybody gets so drunk.
Yes, sir.
They ever find a cannon?
You know. Well, you really got to be sinister to want to thief the cannon on St. Patrick's Day.
Listen, if you've been to college and been around drunken frat boys, Okay. That's what they do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They put a car on the roof.
As a clowning act, though.
As a clowning act. Nobody wants a cannon.
No, man. No,
you know, I remember when it came out, they were like, how much a cannon is worth? Nobody stole it. We got
a couple of minutes left. The prospects for the Virgin Islands, if you could crystallize
that. The prospect, I think things are, I always tell people, like, things are really, really good right now. If you think about it, this is the first time that we're not in a crisis since 2006-07. At the end of the Turnbull...
I'm knocking on wood because we didn't know hurricane.
Please knock on wood. At the end of the Turnbull administration, you know, we
had cash.
We Turnbull left with a surplus in
cash.
There, yes, and everything. And then...
2008.
And then 2008, we had a recession. We had the power crisis, 53 cents a kilowatt hour.
Ovensa.
When we were coming out of it, we had a great recession.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Coming out of that, we had Ovensa. Come out of Ovensa, then
more
we
energy,
had
another energy crisis.
Energy crisis. Yeah. Two hurricanes.
Yes, sir.
Recovery. Then we had COVID. Yes, sir. Right?
Well,
I mean,
well, we actually had a small window right before COVID when we were doing absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a historian. So
I
enjoy this part of the
2019 was a good year.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we were 2020, we're getting to kill it. But we still were limping because we had a lot of hurricane
and repairs. And we actually did. Yo, notwithstanding COVID being in the mix,
we did good.
We were excellent. Oh, no. Man. We benefited from COVID.
We came out and, I mean, we really did well. I mean, and we have a lot of resources. I'll put it that way. Things, we're turning a corner now where... The economy always slows eventually.
If we've tapped out the workforce, then you have a legitimate excuse for importing labor, governor.
Yeah.
How can we go about doing that?
The problem is the workforce is tapped out everywhere. And if you look at the job numbers, I mean, United States predicting, I was looking for 25, they're predicting the unemployment rate to go up to 3.8.
Just imagine that. Up to 3.8.
Up to 3.8. No, which is nothing. I mean, that's unemployment.
Biden infrastructure bill helping the Virgin Islands?
So I wanted to comment on that. I'm glad you mentioned that. As much as the Biden administration and the feds, they're raising the interest rate, but they're pumping millions and millions of dollars into the economy through the infrastructure bill, through grants, through broadband.
Bidenomics is real, man.
Yeah, man. It's real. Bidenomics is real.
Governor, thanks for being here. Don't be a stranger. I mean, you ain't been here since like right after the State of the Territory. I mean, that's January, my brother. I mean, this is September.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? It's been too long, like that's up in the Bronx, right? Too long. Continued success. Wish you well for the people of the Voice. And I tell Charlie, Chris, don't forget, right, that got there down in my Olamola down there. Right, I mean, one of the listeners, listeners had me
one last know. One last joke. Right?
Yeah.
So everybody know him as Charlie Chris. People are go looking for Mr. Chris. His name is Orville. Orville Isaac. Okay. Oh, you know.
I hear,
Mr. Isaac.
I heard he has Mr. Chris. I heard he has political clout. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Communications director for Clear. Glad to see you. All that good stuff. Governor, you don't be a stranger, man. Come on back.
I will be.
Okay, you got it. Great show today. Thank you very much, Mr. Tony Emanuel from the Office of Gun Violence, out of the Office of the Governor, and of course, Governor Albert Bryan Jr. himself here. Appreciate you joining me this morning, Governor. Let me shake your hand like this official, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
How do we know words? How do we accumulate words?
Writer Edna O'Brien.
Are they there in us before we know them?
She follows a quest many writers can understand.
As if these words were the generators of some kind of magic.
Authors, artists, sports, news, and maybe even some magic. Every Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.